everyone, and welcome to A Life Worth Living, a podcast where you can meet people just like you experiencing life's most challenging ups and downs, and those are still able to create a life worth living. So welcome, everybody. My name is Keshni Mathi, and I am going to be one of your hosts today, and we are so excited for today's topic. And with me is the super fantastic, super collaborator, Miss Taryn Oakes. Hello, Taryn.
Lily. Hello, Keshni.
Hello. How are you today?
I'm doing fabulous. Thank you so much for that introduction. And yeah, I can say you are also a fantabulous, fantastic Beyonce right here.
Ooh, yay. Maybe we can have her on our podcast next. What do we think? We're lobbying towards that, are we?
Yes. Oh, yes.
So what are we doing here today? What's our plan of action? What are we talking about?
You know, Cash, that's a good question. I think there's a lot of things we could talk about. But, you know, for our very first podcast, let's maybe talk about, you know, finding a life worth living.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think also, I think it's also important that today is, the International Suicidal Awareness Day. So we can maybe even incorporate that into our discussion today.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic. And I'm so glad that we have with us an amazing guest who's going to tie all those concepts together today. So we have the amazing Sue that's going to be speaking with us today, Taryn. And Sue comes to us having gone through many ups and downs, which I'm sure she's going to share with us, and has been able to really create a wonderful space where she's able to not just live and exist, but actually flourish in. And she's going to be speaking specifically today around this concept of chronic pain and living with chronic pain, right?
Wow.
So yeah, it is wow. I think for a number of reasons, but mainly around, you know, the stigmas attached to it. What do you do and say around someone? What don't you do and say around someone? And then sharing her life experiences. So I'm super excited about this.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic. And I think even like living with someone who also suffers with chronic pain.
Yeah, totally. So I'm going to introduce and I'm going to bring on, I think Sue's going to do her own introduction. We're going to have Sue chat to us now and do a little introduction, and then we'll take it from there. Welcome, Sue.
Thanks, ladies.
Hi, Sue.
It's nice to hear you guys. We'll meet someday, I'm sure.
I'm sure we will too.
Yeah. So I live in the north coast of Ireland, so I'm quite far away from you guys, which sucks. But yeah, so I've had chronic pain now for 10 years, coming on 11 now. had a fall off a ladder, landed heavily on my right shoulder, where they discovered that I have extra ribs at the top of the spine, which caused quite a lot of problems for me. A lot of people have them, but if you have some kind of a trauma, then it can cause problems. So that fall then began my interesting journey of dealing with pain.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing that with us. And thank you for being here and also for using the word interesting, because it is an interesting space, isn't it? I mean, it's very different to how we think we should handle people with chronic pain, our own perception of chronic pain, and then to actually meet someone who is living with this every day. So let me ask you a question that everyone's thinking about, but probably no one wants to ask, you know. Are you in pain every single minute of the day, or is it something sporadically that comes in and out?
Good question.
Yeah, so they always say, you know, between 1 and 10, 10 being the worst, 0 being none. I think the lowest I would ever get to would be 3. I think as time goes on, you learn ways, or I've learned ways of kind of escaping it a little bit. But on bad days, you know, it really is up to 9 or 10 where it's sore to breathe. And then on the easier days, yeah, it can be at about 3, but there's never a time when I'm not experiencing pain.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So I got a question. Is there any kind of methods that can take you below a 3, or have you ever had any experiences where you had a day or even maybe an hour of just pain-free?
So I've learned meditation and visualization is the best way for that. So I start off my day. I've got into a good routine where I'm in bed normally, sort of 9 or 10. And then I get up early in the morning. I don't sleep through the night, but I would tend to get up sort of 4 or 5. And then I start my day with meditation. I actually start it off with gratefulness for things that I'm grateful for. And then I go into meditation because I've learned through meditation to kind of separate myself from the body. That sounds weird, and I'm not like the freak, but you can actually take yourself out of it and just let your body relax, and that helps set you up for the day. Over the years, things did get worse though, so I have to do that maybe more now. It took me a long time to come around to meditation. I've been on a very interesting spiritual journey. So now I've learned, at the beginning, I was just in the constant pain.
Wow, that's amazing. And again, there's such useful things that you said there, meditation, visualization. I love the fact that you spoke about the grateful practice, like how to be grateful. Can you tell us a little bit more about your routine there?
Sure. So after the accident, I started to do a lot of research on myself. And through that research, I realized that part of this does very much come with mental health, or a big part of it's mental health. So through looking after the mental health and doing research into that, I realized that starting your day off with a grateful heart really sets you up for a much more positive day. So a lot of people would look at me, I mean, I can't sit up much anymore, so I'm kind of lying here all the time. And they would say to me, well, what are you grateful for? But actually, there's a lot people overlook. You know, I'm grateful that I woke up this morning. I'm grateful for having a roof over my head. I have a beautiful garden outside my room that has bunnies running around and butterflies. And, you know, if you really want to look for something, you can find it. And it really helps, as I say, the positive mental attitude, which is vital.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Completely agree. And you've mentioned some things there that it seems to add and seems to answer the question of what, Sue, and how have you made your life worth living, right? So you've had to actually think about these things. And you're right, the assumption sometimes does cloud judgment with regard to what people think when they hear the phrase, you're in chronic pain. You've mentioned a little bit about the physiological side of it. Now you've brought in the mental and emotional side of it. Tell me a little bit about the stigma, because you mentioned the word freak earlier. So I want to know about, have you experienced any stigma related to your condition, or have you experienced anything that says that people do treat you differently just purely because you cannot do maybe in the same way what others can?
You know, yeah. Unfortunately, the biggest stigma that I've actually received is from the healthcare system. They tend to make a lot of assumptions. They clearly have never been in chronic pain themselves, so they have a lot of opinions on it. Now, I have to be honest, having been a paramedic before, I was arrogant enough to think, oh, I know what pain is because I've seen so many people in pain. But I would liken this to having, because it's nerve pain, it's like having a toothache all over your body all the time. And I hear people complain about the toothache and this, that and the other. And, you know, people get sympathy for toothache, but they don't give you sympathy for chronic pain, which is nerve pain, literally flashing throughout your body. So people don't seem to be able to bring those two together and work out, wow, you know, maybe that's uncomfortable, which is a nice word for it. And, you know, with the stigma, I think, honestly, people treated me differently as my mobility decreased. So at the beginning, I was able, well, for the first year, I was kind of pretty much in bed. Then I had surgery to remove one of the ribs. That freed up a lot and released the pain. But as time's gone on, I have got further compression of the spine, both in the neck, the thoracic region and the lumbar region. So I would get pain down the legs and everything as well. So I then had to start using a wheelchair about 4 years ago. That's when I really noticed changes in how people would react to me.
That must have been so tough. Thank you for sharing that, Sue.
Yeah, and also so interesting, because surely that's when you need it the most. Need the understanding, need the focus on just Sue the person and not what's happening or what you're losing. What are some of the things that people have said to you, perhaps with good intention, that just we should not be saying or we should not be focusing on?
Well, I think it's the same with a lot of mental health, where people would say, oh, I understand, or there's such a big thing, and there is some truth to it, don't get me wrong, but people have to be extremely careful how they word it, in the fact that it's in your mind. I mean, even this morning, I was in a group for chronic pain, and the people running the group claim to have healed themselves from chronic pain by changing their thought patterns, which is all well and good, and it worked for them. But it doesn't mean that that works for everybody. And the, you know, some of the posts that they're putting up, basically, I had to leave the group because it was very much along the line of, you know, your thinking isn't right, so therefore you're in pain. But, you know, it's so frustrating because you're misunderstood enough from having to use the wheelchair and stuff. And actually, mental health wise, I'm doing pretty good. But they put this stigma on you that, oh, you know, it's in your head. It's due to your poor thought patterns. And I probably have a better daily routine than they do.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. It must cause to the frustration, especially, you know, there's already so much, I guess, pressure that one puts on themselves. And the fact that, you know, they say, oh, get your thinking process right, or, you know, you are not wanting to get better. It just, I guess, adds more of that, you know, sense of guilt that, I mean, actually, that's another question. Do you experience any guilt?
The only guilt that I experience, honestly, is towards my family members that have to look after me, you know, because it's such a big burden on them now that because of an accident that I had, they now have to help look after me. I also then, you know, have to live off benefits because I can't physically get up and go to work. And I was always very much into that and very passionate about my work and never imagined that I would have to live off Social Security. I mean, I'm working towards not doing that anymore, but it's so difficult when you can't dress yourself, you can't wash yourself, you can't, you know, write, typing's painful, all of those types of things. And people make a lot of assumptions about how you would feel that way or what it would be like, or you know, even for the family, Dad doesn't get any support. My brother doesn't get any support. He ended up having to move in too to give me a hand. So, yeah, it's more for other people and yeah. then just for the social security, you know.
Yeah. And I mean, that's amazing. It just shows how selfless you are, actually, just in thinking of those around you, you know. And what would you ideally, Sue, like if you could send a message out right now to healthcare workers, to practitioners, to everyone out there who wants to hear what you have to say about how they treat people that have chronic illness and that are actually lying there with chronic pain, but also in particular those that have had accidents like you, where it could be viewed as, you know, you put yourself on the ladder. And yet now you're dealing with this for life now. So what would you like to say to those people in terms of what you need or you wish you had had or you wish your family had had in terms of support?
No, I think one of the biggest things is people make a lot of assumptions about so many things. They assume that they understand what it's like to be in pain. They assume they know how hard it would be to have carers come in and help you get washed. They, you know, all of that. And also then the healthcare professionals who, as soon as they learn, oh, you had PTSD, they automatically, okay, so this is more to do with the head and past trauma, as opposed to, actually, she served the community as a paramedic and police officer for years. Of course, she's going to have PTSD, but she also understands the best way of looking after herself, mental health-wise, etc. So I think those are the biggest things, assuming and lack of empathy.
Yeah, so it's almost like you need a holistic, multidisciplinary team around you to be able to provide you with different interventions and different needs as you will need them, and not simply focus on the one that might be presenting in its most at the moment, or they might be defining it. That's quite interesting.
You know, and this came up this week. I was at the hospital trying to get an MRI. I haven't had an MRI for 10 years, which is absolutely hideous.
What?
Yeah, honestly.
10 years?
10 years. They haven't followed up. All they do is just keep giving me prescription month after month for the same meds. They don't... Yeah, but anyway. And I saw an orthopedic doctor. Now, I've been building up my own multidisciplinary team. I've got 2 Reiki practitioners. I've got an osteopath. I've got a sports injury guy. And those 4 people have been fantastic. And really got to the bottom of understanding the issues. Whereas the annoying part is when I saw this orthopedic doctor, she was almost saying, oh, you know, you've got too many people, you need to just stick with me, when she clearly was out of her depth and didn't understand. I don't think it's her fault. I think it's her training. I mean, she has some responsibility. She should be researching these things, but without the holistic side, which she clearly doesn't understand, I think realistically, I would be so much worse.
Yeah, and there is that misconception that when we say holistic, we mean, I don't know, singing bowls and barefoot energy healers, right?
Yes.
Which I love, by the way, and I can be if need be. But here we're talking, when we actually talk about holistic, we mean a full team that's catering to you emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, you know?
Psychologically.
Absolutely, yeah. Psychologically. And just to cover all of the bases, because you will probably have varying needs. And I mean, like you said, now to wait for something for 10 years that can actually tell you what is at the root and core of it, that in itself has ripple effects. I hear what you're saying in terms of being believed. And I think, you know, one of the main things that I've experienced is that when someone says that they're in pain, believe them. Because just simply believing them allows you to be able to serve them better, you know? So what would you say to all those people out there that are saying, it's just in your mind, what else? I understand, it's in your mind, you'll be fine. What do you want them to know?
Or just take a pill.
Yeah.
Oh, seriously? I mean, I'm not going to say what I would say to them. I know you want me to, Taryn, but I won't. But Foxtrot Oscar, that's what I like to say. But honestly, I just say wind your neck in and do your research, you know, and stay out of things you don't understand.
Yeah.
Because I have to be honest, I was one of those people, which really, you know, winds me up. But again, it's just lack of understanding. It really is. And we have to kind of, everyone's a different place, I suppose. But if you're going to work in this field and you're going to help people in chronic pain, then actually learn what you're talking about. Actually talk to people who live in chronic pain and find out what it's like. This is the difference when I talk to Keshni, for example. Recently, one of my carers was leaving, the best carer that I've had, and unfortunately, her replacement has been a nightmare. And because of the amount of work Keshni's done with other people, with carers, she completely understands at a different level to someone who's never, you know, had much of a dealing with it. And it makes such a difference to actually have someone to talk to who can understand to some degree. So get out there and talk to people and learn about it if you want to work with people with chronic pain. If you don't do that, then you can't Foxtrot Oscar.
Beautiful. I love it.
I mean that's really amazing. And you're so feisty and you are so full of life. I mean, I understand that you can't sit up anymore, but I think, you know, with care, anyone deserves dignity, and especially when you've got so much life worth living, you know. So tell us a little bit about what you've been doing and what your plans are and what your dreams and hopes are to be able to, you know, bring that wish that you have for your life into the future. What are you doing right now?
Well, so it's been an interesting time. After I first had the accident, I built my own gaming business to do with computer gaming. Yeah, I mean, seriously, it was a laugh. I kind of worked myself into a job, having no clue what I was doing, learned on the job, and it was basically managing gaming communities. And I built up this whole program system where the company had to have less staff because we got the gamers doing the work for them and they were loving
it.
But it taught me how to manage hundreds of volunteers at once. I had no idea what that was all about, but it worked for me for a few years. But I wanted to get back to helping people again. You know, that's what I'd spent my life doing. So I had already studied counselling at University of Ulster, and I had a teaching certificate, you know, for adults and things like that. And I really thought, I want to get back into that. So a couple of years ago, I got together with some other practitioners and we created a network of helping practitioners. But I mean, you've got energy workers, you've got counsellors, therapists, psychologists, you know, multiple different types of helpers who all work together now for global projects, and collaboration is a big thing. So we're connecting NGOs that do the same thing over the world and having them all work together for one purpose, which obviously creates much more of an impact. So we're gradually building that up, and then obviously helping practitioners that are new, helping them with practicing, and if they're learning online, we obviously want to provide them with better experience before they go out and start working with people's minds. So we do that. But the biggest thing that I've learned is to ultimately, by keeping my mind focused on something else, I don't focus on the pain. And by helping other people, you help yourself. And mental health is the biggest struggle. I'm not going to lie and say, you know, I've never had enough or felt like I just can't do this anymore. Of course I have. But the support that I have around me now actually helps longer term when I hopefully get this MRI and get some help with the physical aspects that are trapping the nerves. My hope is to go out and talk to other people like myself at the hospital, you know, who are at the beginning of this journey, and just help them and show them that they're not on their own, that there is a network here that can help them. But also end of life has become quite a passion of mine, because again, a lot of the symptoms that they go through are what I'm living through myself. So I want to be able to go out and maybe help support them as well. So we'll see.
That's beautiful.
That's amazing. Hey, Taryn, how amazing
That's
is that?
That's so inspirational. Like, I have like goosebumps, like my ears are standing. Wow. So I just wanted to say, you said that you weren't, I don't know if I'm correct in saying this, but you said that you wanted to help people whilst you were creating gaming communities. I wanted to say that you were helping the gaming communities and also helping gamers, you know, because I don't know if I'm right in saying this, but I feel that especially those who live with a chronic disability or who are in chronic pain, gaming plays such an important aspect in that regard. You know, for me, I mean, not to say that I've been in pain, but when I'm frustrated or angry, gaming is an option that I turn to get my mind off of things. And, you know, it's so wonderful, and it's a huge needed space. And I feel like, you know, there's it's quiet when regards to, I guess, the important aspects of gaming and what it can do for those, not just those who are stressed out, but also maybe for those who are living with a chronic, you know, disability or in chronic pain.
Yeah, I fully agree. I think, I mean, you know, on Suicide Awareness Day that's happening around the world today, what an important topic, because games do that, don't they? They give us hope that the next game will be better. They distract us, like Sue said, just from the moment of what we're feeling at the moment. And yet pain, physical pain, and pain in general, emotional, psychological, spiritual pain, is the cause for people losing hope, right? And usually when you lose hope, that is when the thought of this world is better with me out of it. That's when it pops in. So something like gaming, something like she mentioned earlier, meditation and visualization. I know, Sue, that you also talk through your pain. You talk to your body through your pain, which is a beautiful way of handling it, you know? But at the basis of all of that is that with chronic pain and those that dwell in chronic pain, we give them dignity by accepting that they are in pain, by validating what they feel, and by supporting them in their own way, is what I'm hearing that Sue's saying here. It's just enough to say, I see you, I hear you, I believe you, right? Sounds a bit simple, but that seems to be, you know, what this is about.
Do you know, but what you just said there is what I do with my pain. So for many years, I used to do meditation and kind of try and focus away from the pain. But then one of the Reiki practitioners said to me, try this. And she said, focus on the pain. So actually talk to the pain, because it is the body speaking to you that it's struggling to deal with, you know, an energy blockage or whatever it is. So by talking to the pain, well, one, accepting it, talking to it and asking it just to dial it down a bit, that it's got a bit much. It sounds ridiculous, but it actually works.
No, yeah. I mean, doesn't sound ridiculous at all if it's working.
Well, to other people with pain that aren't where I'm at, though, they're like, how can you accept it? How can, you know... They're quite angry and frustrated with it. Whereas if they can switch that around, then it actually makes such a massive difference in being able to get it to dial down.
Yeah.
Not an easy process, don't get me wrong, but by switching that around, it's made a massive difference. And then with the nausea that comes with it and the vomiting, from a book that I read from a recent course, there was a brilliant visualization where you have a blue light above your head that then radiates down through your body and down into the ground. And with nausea moving up through your body, then ultimately this visualization helps it go down the way, not up. And it's right. Really, really helped with the nausea. So just learning little tools like that, and I'm still learning, you know, 10 years later, but just it makes a massive difference. And I think by being able to share that and talk to people, then they can learn it sooner than I did.
Amazing.
That's fantastic. I think we're always in a continuous state of learning, or we should always be.
No, absolutely. So we could honestly talk to you forever. And I'm hoping that you will come back to talk about everything else. But I think, you know, just in closing, if there is a message that you have for someone else who's listening out there who right now has started their journey or has been on this journey through chronic pain and who's finding it very hard to see out of the darkness at the moment and who's listening to you right now, what would you like to say to them?
The best way, honestly, is to find someone else who understands and just talk to them. Ideally, someone who's a little bit past that, that does have the hope, that can help you. And through this channel, I mean, you guys can obviously put someone in touch with me who might need some help that way. But finding a support group or someone else who has experienced it genuinely, then I honestly think being able to just open up and talk to them and have some understanding helps an awful lot. But I would say the dark times pass. There, you know, I've realized now that if it hadn't been for my accident, my awareness and understanding of the bigger picture to do with the world, why I'm here, my purpose, I wouldn't be as effective as a trauma coach if I hadn't been through this myself. So I do believe that, you know, there is a reason why you're in the place that you're at, and there's always lessons to be learned. And by working through the pain and by working through those issues, then hope will come and you can create a good life for yourself, even if it is through visualization, living in your bed.
Wow.
It's beautiful. Sue, I got a question. In terms of the different kinds of pain, so obviously there's the mental, emotional, the physical pain. Would you say, you know, obviously it would be great if one can tackle all those pains and try and learn tools and ways to, I guess, deal or work through them. But is there a certain pain that you feel needs the most attention or that you would rank like sort of top priority?
Obviously the mental is massive, because if your mental state deteriorates, then everything else deteriorates with it. In regards to pain, physical pain, nerve pain is definitely like the worst. You feel like you're just getting electric shocks constantly. It's just like the toothache. And when people say that they're experiencing nerve pain, just imagine having a toothache constantly that can't be fixed. You know, then
oh, don't tell me. Oh, I have a wisdom tooth right now.
Right.
Oh, so
imagine that radiating down into your chest, down into your back, down both arms, and then affecting being able to use your arms. That's basically what it's like. So even by you asking the questions, being, you know, I don't mind answering that. I would prefer to answer questions than have people assume.
Yes.
You know, so now you have a much deeper understanding about anyone that's going to talk to you now about nerve pain. Mm-hmm. And that's what people need, for sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's been amazing chatting to you, Sue. And like I said, we, Taryn and I both, and I'll let her say a goodbye just now, but we both hope that you will come back. But for anyone's listening that wants to know, where can we find you? Because there might be people out there that might want to connect with you. Are you on social media? Is there any way that they can find you? Would you like them to go through the show? How would you like them to find you so that they can at least reach out if they have any questions or if they want to be coached, mentored, and counseled by you?
I mean, they can come through the show, obviously. They can email me directly at csnsue@gmail.com.
Excellent. csnsue@gmail.com. So that's easy enough to...
The other thing they can do is just go on to Palau Support Network, where there's a wider network of people that can help and support. There's a forum there where they can, you know, easily get support from each other and other therapists and so on.
Yes, I'm That's a little so fantastic. Partial because I am part of that network and I resonate with it. So we're going to say this again. It's a global, international, very accessible, free network. That's how affordable it is, right, Sue? And yep. It's people helping people. And do you want to give us a little bit of what is the URL or how can they can download it, or do they need to go to the World Wide Web to find it?
So they can download an app called Discourse Hub, and then download, or it says add a site, and you go to forums.carlislesupportnetwork.net, and that will take them straight to our site, and then that they can just register on the forum and connect with all of us.
Excellent. So that's download the app called Discourse, and then give us the name of
Discourse Hub.
And then give us the name of the forum again.
Forums.carlislesupportnetwork.net.
Forums.carlislesupportnetwork.net.
That's it.
Okay, great. I'm downloading it now.
I said that especially for Taryn because I could feel her going to her phone.
Sorry. Also, thanks so much for that.
Any passing final comments, Taryn, for Sue or for the viewers, listeners?
Look, I just say, you know, thank you so much, Sue, for, you know, sharing that and, you know, just providing light and also sharing your voice and speaking to the others who are probably in the same exact position as you or are experiencing similar things. So thank you. I think it's extremely brave and inspirational what you're doing, and yeah, keep on doing it and living a life worth living for.
Absolutely.
Tongue twister there.
Yeah, you've been such a beacon of light today, Sue. I don't know if there's anything you'd like to end with
other than just thanks for having me.
Yeah,
you cheer a laugh, so it's quite easy to hang out with. I'll come back just to hang out with you too.
Please do. Absolutely. Please. We'll come to Ireland and we will sit under the rainbow and conquer the pot of gold with leprechauns. That is what we shall do.
Absolutely. And we need to meet Saoirse. What's her name? Saoirse, that one actress.
Yes. Yes, we do, Tara. That's a whole other show.
Sorry.
Or what are you talking about?
I'm talking about that amazing actress. Her name is Saoirse. She has like a very complicated name that I can never pronounce.
Okay.
Sorry, I totally went off topic.
Not random at all, but hey.
Sorry.
I'm lost too.
We will do all that and so much more at the next Life Worth Living podcast. Thank you guys all so much for joining us and for listening to us. And thank you again, Sue, for having us in your space and in your little life bubble. And thank you so much for contributing to everyone's life worth living. See you guys soon. Bye.
Bye.